site of Sikkim, in the centre of Gangtok. He painted, had painting apprentices, and, with his wife, ran a small cyber cafe. I had been introduced to his mother-in-law, a woman of 75, who was often leaning on the wide railing of their rooftop flat, looking out over the city and the mountains beyond, spinning her prayer wheel and reciting mantras. 3 years earlier, she had shaved her head, donned a robe, and become a nun, in order to devote herself more fully to the religious life. Often, when I visited, I would stand next to her and lean on the railing, looking over the city and snow mountains beyond, stilled by her calm presence. I did not know much about her beyond that presence, since she spoke not a word of English, and I speak neither Tibetan nor Bhutanese. "How can her journey into the mountains make me question my sense of reality?" I asked Tinley. He laughed. "It's better she tells you herself," he said. "But trust me," Tinley said, looking up from the powder in his mortar and pestle, which was as blue as the empty Tibetan sky. He looked me in the eye. "I tell you, it will stretch your sense of what's possible. You'll think she's spun the tale in her head, but it's entirely true." "What's entirely true?" "That's for her to say," he laughed. "She's away for a few days now on a retreat in a monastery in Western Sikkim, but she'll be back tomorrow. Why don't you come the day after, in the afternoon?" I arrived at the appointed time with my tape recorder. Tinley called his mother-in-law. She walked into the room, dressed in her nun's robes. One hand was working the beads of her mala, a Tibetan rosary, and the other she ran across the stubble of her shaved head and smiled when she saw me. I had been away from Sikkim and hadn't seen her in almost a year. She said something in Tibetan, and Tinley interpreted. "She says that since you are meeting again after such a long time, it means you still have karma together. Otherwise you wouldn't be meeting again." "It must be that story," I said, laughing. "It is a story that has changed many people's fates," Tinley said with an enigmatic twinkle in his eye. "We'll see what happens to you." Tinley made tea. The three of us sat on the floor, and with Tinley translating, she told me a story that certainly changed the course of the next 4 years of my life. Her story was pithy and replete with rustic details of crevasses, streams, and high snow peaks, the vividness of which was remarkable for the passage of over 4 decades. What struck me most was the depth and passion of her faith. She began by telling me that she was from Bhutan. She and her husband had a small farm, a few cows, chickens, and they grew their own grain. Even as a child, she had heard that there was a place called Baul Demashong, a hidden valley in Sikkim she described as a heaven you enter through a cave, a place where you would live forever. This valley is on the slopes of Mount Kanchenjunga. In a matter-of-fact manner, as if she were telling me that she had 100 rupees stashed under her mattress, she told me that half the wealth of this world and great stores of what she called spiritual attainment were hidden inside the mountain. "Why do you think it is so peaceful here in Sikkim, and there is so much happiness?" she asked, her eyes clear and penetrating. "It is because we are living so close to Mount Kanchenjunga." Sipping her tea, spinning her prayer wheel, and looking off into the distance, she recalled her childhood. "My village lama back in Bhutan used to tell us, and our parents told us too, there is a cave, and there are people who have made it. There was a man from Tibet who went to Sikkim. He was high in the mountains when there was a big snowfall, and he got lost. He saw a cave, and he went inside for refuge. It was so beautiful that he could never explain it in words. He went inside for maybe 20 minutes, and when he came out, years had passed without his knowing, and zip, zip, he was old. Old age in a moment." Dorje Wangmo laughed.